good evening, wherever you are. This is the BBS conference call where we do a simulcast. It's the Wind Free Show, and we have people on the telephone, and we have people on BBS radio. So good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are, to all BBS listeners who are listening now or will listen to the replays in the future or read a transcript of this. My name is Terry Brown. I've been working with WIM for quite a lot of years. We've been working in the area of bringing through information and asking questions and working with the Elohim and the Ra group. So it's been a very interesting and mind-opening.
All callers are muted and
venture.
They can unmute themselves.
Hello. Is Wing 3 on the line yet?
Could be.
And so we introduce our host, Wing 3.
You're the host. I'm the guest.
No, you're not here. No, we need more notice.
Hey, tell me what you told everybody so I know where to come in.
Just the general basics that we're on a simulcast with BBS Radio and the telephone line, the conference line.
Yeah.
And welcome to everybody wherever they are, whatever time zone.
Yes. Okay, super. Well, let me see. We have all those people on our phone line. Let me open up the phone line for a moment and let them say hello to BBS, and we can have our BBS phone line greeting. Hang on a second.
All callers are muted.
Hang on.
All callers are unmuted.
Hey, guys. Are you all there?
We're here.
Yes, we're here. We're
here.
How many of you on the phone line are dolphin lovers?
I am. I am for sure.
Okay.
I am.
You need to have to think twice about that one.
Just checking. Did you guys ever hear the old Don and Wind show? Daphne was channeling. And
I heard it.
Heard it?
Yep, I was listening to that one.
Did you listen to a replay or were you there?
No, I was there.
You were? That was a long time ago. Who was that?
Gene.
Gene?
And it was a while ago.
I mean, that was quite a surprise. Why don't you guys say hello to everyone on BBS? 1, 2, 3.
Hi, BBS.
Now everyone on BBS can think hello back and see how telepathic you can be. We're just going to be quiet and feel your energy.
Hello, this is Jay on BBS.
All right. That's we always feel your energy. And that's somebody new that came in the phone line. Would you like to say your name and your city?
Yeah. Hi, Wynn. This is Julie. Oh, hi.
Hi, Julie.
Hi.
It's a British accent you have, correct?
You know what? It's really a Minestrone, and my bloodline is Irish, so.
You're Irish. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But the accent's mixed.
For me, I'm not that refined to see the difference between British and Irish. Okay? So.
Well, be Jesus, you'll be figuring it out soon enough.
All right. And then we have Australians and Kiwis, you know? Hang on, I'm going to mute you all. And then we're going to get on with our topic for tonight.
All callers are muted, and they can unmute themselves.
But I was going to share something. I started talking about it because we have some people that really love dolphins. They have been dolphins in former lives. And there was a few years ago, I did a show called The Don and Wynn Show. And Don is the founder of BBS Radio. And he discovered me, and we discovered each other, when BBS was first starting. And Don said, "You have the most far-out story I ever heard. Would you like to do a show?" And at that point, I was quite shy about telling my story and, you know, a little scared. What are people going to think about all of this? So I didn't want to do a regular show. I mean, no way did I want to do a regular show. But
entry and exit chimes are off.
There we go. I didn't want to do a regular show, but I kind of talked for an hour, put it in a cassette tape, and then sent it to Don, and he put it on the radio, and I would guess three people probably listened to it. And Don kept calling me and talking to me, and I said, "Why don't we just put our conversations on the air?" And so we did. We started something called the Don and Wynn Show, and we would just BS on the air. And occasionally I would talk about my book or my channelings, but Don really didn't really want to do that at that point. He was kind of like wanting to talk about other stuff. And of course, Daphne came on as a guest, and there was that historic channeling of the Council of 12 that was unexpected. And then Daphne started coming on semi-regularly, and I don't think, yeah, well, Terry came on too at that period, but I don't know if Terry ever channeled publicly. I think she was too shy. But
I did. I channeled on one of the shows.
On one of them? Okay. But
yeah,
Daphne came on, and we were expecting to get the Elohim, and this voice comes through that says it's Buck Choi the Dolphin. And we start having conversations with this voice that identifies itself as a dolphin. Now, I wasn't sure. Because of the way the show was, maybe a higher source was coming through and just doing that so it would be more acceptable. But we had two or three shows with this dolphin. And I don't even remember what we talked about now. They're somewhere in the archives on BBS Radio, under the Don and Wynn Show. Someday I'll pull them out and try to recall what it was. But this evening,
On one of the shows, Buck Choi answered questions for people.
People called up on the phone, right?
Yeah.
I think I remember that. So we were doing like a psychic show with Buck Choi answering questions from callers. And you know what? I'll bet you if Buck Choi came back, we have two or three people in our group that would say, "I better get a reading from Buck Choi." there's some of them are listening on the conference call right now. But in any case, I announced a really interesting topic tonight, and then just give a little introduction to it, because I've asked some of these questions myself, and I've got some idea of some of the answers. And maybe just to introduce this topic, I would give a little bit of my own personal knowledge of it, and then we'll go a little deeper in our conversation with our source. And I better start. Hang on just a second. I didn't start the tape recorder, so just a moment.
Please enter your PIN followed by pound. Please wait. This conference is now being recorded.
Okay, we're now being recorded. And we all live on planet Earth. This is our Monday night call, and the topic is, how do things get screwed up down here? And sometimes people feel guilty, like they're doing something wrong. Why is life hard? God must be punishing me. And there actually is another explanation, far deeper than that. And we would have to make some assumptions. And I tell people, even when we channel, you have to not believe anything is true until it hits a resonance. So we have a voice that identifies itself as the Elohim. And we've had a series of conversations with them as to how they created this realm and why. And you know, that's a big jump to say we're actually talking to an intelligence that created the physical universe. So not easy to prove that, and I don't believe it can be proven. So then you have to just take their answers over time and see if it resonates, if it makes sense, if it fits other things you know. And you take their wisdom over time and say, can I apply this? Is this useful to my life? Because humans have a predisposition to give up their power. And whether they give up their power, if things go wrong, it's the government's fault. It's their neighbor's fault. It's their boss's fault. And on some level, it's always somebody else's fault. Or somebody else has the authority. So coming to the table here with a voice that's talking and communicating and saying they created this realm, one of the downsides of making that as an introduction is that within that, there is a temptation to say, give up your power. This is the creator of the realm. Now, in our conversations with them, and we've had extensive ones, that is not what they want you to do. And that is not the highest purpose of having these communications of saying, give up your power. That is totally not what they want you to do. And it's not what they ever wanted people to do. But people do have a predisposition to do that. Because when you do that, you feel like you're no longer responsible, and the responsibility falls on someone else. And then you can go through your life blaming whatever else you've assigned as responsible over you. So in this case, this source that's talking to us that says they created this realm does not really explain themselves in the way we normally would think of a source that created this realm. Because all through history, that source that created this realm is considered God, and that everyone surrenders to this power of God, as if God would want us to be his servant. And in the case of who we're talking to, they don't ask that of us. And, you know, if you think about it, if you have children, do you want your children to be your servant, or do you want them to be your friends when they grow up? When they're young, you're responsible for them. But after they grow up, having them as servants is kind of boring. It's no fun. There's no co-creation in it. So this source that we're talking to has said they want us to be their friends, and that they are an intelligent consciousness that was here before the physical universe, and the physical universe was created because they learned how to do it. They learned how to concentrate energies, focus energies. We've had conversations about that in previous talks. And that it was, sometimes I say, they looked at it like an art piece, or like I don't know if you guys have ever seen these little domes that have life in them. They have little bugs, they have flora, and I forget what they call them, but there's an assortment of things in them that allows them to nurture all the things in it, become a self-sustaining environment that can grow of its own accord, and you can just watch it grow. And there's flowers, and it's they're small. Ecological environment. It was an environment that could grow, and that you just started out, put it on the shelf, and you can look at it every day, and all the different things in it would create a self-sustaining environment. And I think that is somehow how these sources looked at the creation of the universe, to create a self-sustaining environment that could grow, where there would be individual energies, and that originally the energies or the life forms, I believe, had some awareness that they were part of all that is. And at some point, that awareness stopped, and that at least in certain parts of this universe, the beings lost connection with being part of all that is. Specifically, when I say some part, I should say our part here on planet Earth. And that there's been a number of attempts to try to create interventions in this realm to help people reconnect with the part of themselves that is all it is, or everyone else, and to increase the evolutionary path. And then there's a counterforce in this realm that would be opposed to that idea, that would not like people to connect with their highest aspect. Now, one of the things about connecting to your highest aspect, and when people hear a talk like this, the first response can cause somebody to think that we have a new belief pattern. People look at this like it's a belief pattern, and that, oh, God wasn't like that, God was like that. Okay, God wants to be our friend, he doesn't want to be worshipped. Well, that is a belief pattern. Okay, God wants to be our friend is a belief pattern. Now, can you connect with the energy of the God that wants to be our friend? That's not a belief pattern when you do it. That is an experience. So we have to distinguish between belief patterns and experiences. And as we start looking at all this, I may say something that you haven't experienced, and that's okay. Sometimes it takes a while to have an experience. If you consider a belief pattern and say, well, maybe that is true, and perhaps it's a higher belief pattern than the one you've lived in, then it may open yourself up to having an experience that you couldn't have had without opening up to that belief pattern. For example, if we said these sources would like to be your friend, and you start considering that, now that's a belief, they want to be my friend, then you can say, well, how do they become a friend? And you say, oh, there's all these people on the line that seem to be making some kind of connection. Are they a bunch of wackos, or are they having an experience? What's going on? And you listen, and they sound sincere, and they sound intelligent, and I sound intelligent, and Terry sounds intelligent, and we're all talking about this wacko stuff. Well, are we being deluded, or is it real? So at the point you recognize that maybe we are having an experience, and you're not having that experience, you can then say, how do I have that experience? Because now I've come to the conclusion it's possible to have an experience. And I didn't even think that experience would exist. So once you start saying, how can I have that experience? And you keep coming to our calls, we keep telling you. Not only that, these sources are here, and they say, if you ask, you'll feel our energy, because we're on the line, and we can tune into you. So that is a quick look at all of this. And then if we have these sources that want to be our friends, and if they created this realm, why did things get so screwed up and there's so much suffering here? Why did that occur? Well, as I understand it, from many of my questions, at one point, there was no such thing as negative. There were only beings that were aware of each other and that they were aware that they were all part of all that is and part of each other. And it was kind of fun, okay? So this is a part of you that's separated, but it's really not separated. And so they were dancing in and out of feeling together and feeling separated. And at some point, once you had a physical realm, you had something called possessions. When you're a spirit form, there's no such thing as possessions. And when you're in the physical world, there's possessions. So as people came into this realm or beings started to develop in this realm, they became like, this is mine and this is yours. And therefore, there became this competition for possessions. And that who would be at the top of all the competition? And the person at the top, of course, could have been very beneficent and used their position to be of service to everyone else and to help wake people up to the truth. But more often than not, the people at the top were enjoying their position of having everyone give them energy. And one of the things that people give you energy, you can become very addicted to that. So instead of looking, in one of the early channelings that's in questions and answers with the Elohim, they said, most people look downward, they don't look upwards. In other words, upwards means into the celestial realms that you don't normally access. It's easy to access the levels beneath you. And when you keep looking at those levels, the question is, how do I get more from those levels aimed at myself? It's far harder to look at the levels above you because they're transparent. You have to connect, you can't see them. You don't know they're there until someone makes a point that says, look at this. And so there's many, many dimensions in the universe. And wherever you are, in most cases, there's something above you. And the thing above you is got something above it. And there's this hierarchy of abovenesses, and everything in the hierarchy is trying to gather the energies of what's below it to point towards it, and does not look behind it for the energy that could be had from divine source. And so one of the reasons this level got screwed up is because there was a natural development of these hierarchical structures that went downwards, and each level was doing its best to corral the energies of the level below it. And the level above that level was corralling the energies of that level, going on to very high levels. So this negative goes on very high in the universe. And in the Ra channelings of Carla Ruckert, They said that that, and they use 8 densities of levels, and I believe they said, I can't remember, you can be service to self up to 6 density, and that means service to self essentially means that your major preoccupation is corralling the energies underneath you to point towards you, and that you're not bringing in the energies above you. So you can go very high and be service to self, corralling the energies around you to point towards you. And it's this aspect of choice that beings have taken that has caused the suffering in our realm, because the people on top that are service to self, that are corralling energies, don't care about anything other than what points towards them. Now, the truth of the matter is that nothing is black and white. So when you say service to self, you can't exactly say, okay, let's divide the planet. Here's the service to self to this side. Here's the service to others to this side. Because it's mixed polarity. Even everyone is mixed. Everyone has a certain amount of both. And it has to do with where the majority of your pattern lies. If you're going to think of service to self and call it the devil, then you're not being honest with yourself. You're not being with a part of, you're not being honest with a part of yourself that is service to self, and that would corral the energy of people around you. So it's good to look at yourself and see that, and not to make it wrong. Just make sure it's not more than 49% if you want to graduate this realm. But I don't believe, on some level, you can be in this realm and not have some predisposition to service to self, unless you're maybe Saint Teresa or maybe Terry. Terry is a pretty high service to other percentage. But nonetheless, it's good to be able to look at things as they are, because then you can work with them and change them. And so tonight, I'm going to stop. That's a good enough introduction. We have about 22 or 23 minutes, and we're going to ask our sources some questions to learn how things shifted from the place where everyone that had a separate consciousness was aware that they were part of all that is, to the place now where it's separated, and what can we do to help the circumstance as it is now. Terry, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Now, Terry never knows what I'm going to ask. She doesn't read my notices, so whenever we do this, it's always totally impromptu. And in fact, oftentimes, I don't decide what I'm going to talk about until a few hours before the show, because I try to feel what's going to be of value, what is in the ethers right now. And right now, as I understand it, in other realms, there is a battle for our planet in between intelligent ET species. And I also understand that the way that this battle is won is not by going into a battlefield and facing your adversary. It's won by the amount of people in our realm that can lift their vibration above the veil and hold a positive energy in this realm. Because once you do that, the negative loses their ability to control your energy. You're above them. And the more people that do that, the less influence they have in this realm. Now, my sources, our sources can, I'll ask about that to get it more straight from them. But that's how I've understood it. It's one of the reasons I do so many of these calls, and we just started Team Shift. And that's the way things change, because enough people do that. And on that note, Terry, I'm going to call you the light, and we'll start asking some questions on this topic. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person on this line, and any negativity be taken to the higher realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the positive center of the universe, through the galaxies, through the planets, through the outer energy fields of the Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group consciousness connection, a blending of the energies of all those listening right now on the conference call, on their computer, and on the replay lines. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to other, honoring the law of one, to join with us, and we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. And anything not of that nature must leave now. And we'll await our sources to identify themselves.
We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. Today is September 27th, 2010. And we are pleased to be with you and honored this Monday, or wherever you are and whatever time zone you are, to be with you and to be available to answer questions. Do you have questions?
Well, on the topic that I brought up and that I was talking about, perhaps you could make some comments as to the accuracy of the way that I drew the picture for how this works.
Give us a moment. The topic being, how did things get screwed up on the third density? One of the things that happens in the third density is there's a tremendous time delay, as there are fixed matrices that love to remain fixed and to not move. And individuals who come into the third density experience this in that the body system with its fixed matrix, relatively fixed matrix, likes living in the third density and does not want to transition or change, and it hangs on to its positioning. This is a result of the energies coming into the third density who are experiencing possession in owning bodies, in owning houses, cars, and all of this lends and adds to their positioning. When once they have gone through all this work to obtain positioning, to have cared for their body and raised their body and raised their children's bodies and raised their children, to have everything move into a very harmonious fixed relationship and all that energy that went into it, they wish to keep it within that energy. However, underneath, underlying everything, there is change. Within the body, there is the blood flow moving. There is the heartbeat. There are the lymph system, and there is the lymph system with the lymph flowing through. There is the flow of food through the body. And so there is change. But when people resist change, that is one of the biggest things that get things screwed up in the third density. People do not like to experience change, particularly when it slows them down or is detrimental to something that has been working well in the past. When some physical object gets broken or some car breaks down. But people holding on and trying to maintain status quo, then they like dragging their feet as the world moves on. They become out of sync. And then their ideas, instead of keeping with what is happening, tend to live in the past. And when one has a traumatic incident, it tends to stay with the individual, even sometimes over the next lifetime or traveling, magnetized in the DNA of the individual, as the individual still seeks to somehow resolve this unbelievable tragedy that happened to them that they didn't accept because they couldn't accept change. And when one learns to accept change and to see the surroundings exactly as they are around them and within them, then they can stay with the now and live in the now and can have the fullest life possible, and any screw-ups can be just let go and dissolved and not preserved forever in their bank of memories as they refuse to believe it or try to get revenge or somehow to straighten the tragedy out.
So, for example, if a person has built for themselves a very happy life, they're happily married, they have nice children, and they, all these things are anchoring them and making them feel good in third density. And if for some reason that changes, they lose a child, or they lose a husband or a wife, they leave them, or they pass on, the person has a naturally hard time recouping themselves from that kind of thing, although inevitably it's going to happen. Inevitably, as we age, one spouse is going to die before the other spouse. One child may get mad at you and not want to talk to you. And you care, and you feel separated from the energies. How can a person experience the joys of good connections like that and cope with the loss?
One can get more knowledge about how things transition so that they can, let's say, get more awareness and can see more, they could see that the person they have lost is moving on into a new life, into a new space, into a new situation. And often they don't want the individual to move on. They want to keep things as they were, and they cling to that in their mind. However, one can learn to move with the flow and to not be possessive and still send the person they have lost love energy. This will be more healthy for the person that they have lost, when instead of getting tears and you can't leave me and what's happened, and then the person who has transitioned feels they have to hang around, and it clouds their moving on to a new situation, then they can, if the individual can stay in the now and send love to that person, then the love can build even stronger between the individuals, even though the one has transitioned. And this love will then eventually at some point bring these two back together. One cannot see the long term when they are in the third density often, and they only think of that it's happened now and that now is forever, which it is not. Things move, are constantly moving and constantly changing. So one can send love to the person who's transitioned, and then the other person can make a new situation and a new life, and they can still be in each other's hearts and in their futures and in their memories and in their life.
Mm-hmm. Now, there's another aspect to this where there is certain kinds of programming that people are influenced by. Programming that doesn't come from this dimension directly, that starts out in some of these what I call nesting spheres of intelligence, which are negative, which are nested within the universe. And either from beings that are very advanced, or maybe even energy forms like the Elohim, but are not predisposed to go back to source, but to gather energy from those realms underneath them. Could you share a little bit about how this works from your look at it?
When an individual does not have confidence in all that is, in the supportive nature of all that is towards his, her life, then one can get possessive and can pull in energies stolen from others that then they feel can magnify their own sense of existence and their own sense of worth. It is a lesson that individuals go through, and many stay in that state for millions, if not more, years.
So a person, a human, can experience almost the same life over and over again with the same consciousness. And just because they're what you would call an old soul with many lifetimes behind them, they still just be repeating the same life that they had millions of years ago.
That is correct. for some individuals, the same characteristics hold true lifetime to lifetime, and by their energy signature, you can recognize them lifetime to lifetime with a similar pattern.
Mm-hmm. And if they were under the auspices of what we're calling negative service to self, acquisitive consciousnesses above them, then those relationships would just keep repeating over many lifetimes.
That is correct. And the individuals who are under the auspices of the others who are stealing their energy will feel resentment and won't know why, and will feel blunted and frustrated. And frustration is one of the hardest things to overcome, because frustrations add to frustrations, wherein when one is headed for a goal and is blocked, then they get a feeling of frustration. And with frustration comes anger at the desire to break through and to achieve the goal. So when one is having his energy stolen and his goals blunted by a higher group, when their goals really are for the highest good, then it is not healthy for anyone.
Thank you. So perhaps the first step is for someone to have a conscious awareness of how this works, so they can take a look. Instead of being immersed in their own patterns, they can start to observe their patterns. And the part of them that's observing their patterns is above the pattern, and it starts a process of change in them. Am I accurate in that?
Yes, you are. In fact, when one begins to observe their patterns, and then when they observe a pattern that they are not quite happy with, they can observe what the trigger was. And then when they observe the trigger, they can observe what happened before the trigger, and they can begin to amass a body of data about their own actions and about themselves that can lead to a bunch of aha experiences as they begin to understand more about themselves and how they react.
Mm-hmm. So we're just about to a close now, and I have about 10 hours more of questions. But let me close with one question, and perhaps we'll pick up on this topic at another time. And the question is, when the Elohim first created this realm, did they have any idea that it was going to, I'll use the word, devolve into the kind of space it's in right now?
No, there were consequences which they did not expect. If they were joyful about the creation and the appearance of light and how things would vibrate, and vibration would enliven what was vibrated, and we felt that we were making a very great contribution to what was becoming life. And it was a delight, and we did not expect the systems to run down and get stuck with repeating growth patterns and growth repeating cycles. And then some accused us of be having a criminal action by creating such systems. However, it was not our intention and is not our intention for life forms to get stuck in such gross repeating cycles.
Thank you. We better say goodbye. Thank you all for listening. My name is Wayne Free. If you're interested in my work, go to messageofday.net. You'll get emails and channelings and all kinds of information. Messageofday.net. And I thank everybody who's on the conference line in particular for supporting the energy that helps us bring through this amazing look at how the big picture of the universe works. And special thanks to Terry for being here today. And we'll see you all Wednesday when we answer your questions that you submit. And I'm going to stop the tape recording. Thank you all who are listening on the recording.
Press 1 to stop recording. This conference is no longer being recorded.